So yeah, they got to make some moves and figure it out what those moves are. I don't know what. I mean, obviously getting Malik, you know, back is a priority, I feel like, because we see what our bench was without Malik, you know, very inconsistent and, you know, struggled at times and struggled to create offense and things like that. So,
but it was nice to see like Keon, you know, step up and get his chance this season. And now obviously he can make a difference on this team. So like excited to see what he can do next year as well.
100%. I'm literally going to open Tankathon for the first time in 2 years, guys. It's been a wonderful 2 years without looking at Tankathon. It's a beautiful thing. Seriously. Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily. Joined by my co-pilots, Liz and Naima. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
Good evening, y'all.
First quarter, shout out to Domas for getting a steal and the dunk. Domas gets another steal, which led to a Fox dunk. Fox gets another layup near the end of the quarter. Kings up 24-22. Second quarter, Domas does work in the post for two. Keon gets a steal off a Fox deflection, which ends up in a Fox three. Fox, it's another three. Pels are up 54-45 at the half. Naima and Liz, your thoughts on the half?
Yeah, it was nice to see. I mean, I thought the defense early was really good. They were creating turnovers. It was nice to see Sabonis being super aggressive early. Obviously, Fox was being aggressive early. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, everyone else struggled. The Pelicans, like, now I'm convinced they just lost that Lakers game on fucking purpose because they knew they could beat our ass again. yeah, it just, like, the second quarter was just frustrating. I mean, just careless turnovers, you know, and their length, it just continues to give us a problem. I mean, like the DHOs were just, like there was nothing happening with those. Keegan couldn't get going. Like Keon was like, I think took one shot in the first half. So yeah, just, you know, they did what they do against us every single time, but instead of CJ cooking us, it was like everyone else cooking us. But yeah, the defense just, it didn't look right. I mean, the help defense was too late at times. They were just getting too many easy looks. So yeah, just a disappointing first half.
Yeah, I mean, it was looking good in that first quarter and everything. Like De'Aaron and Domas were playing extremely well. But then something changed in the second quarter and the Pelicans just, you know, turned up the heat and they started playing well again. And the Kings could just, throughout the entire game, just could not handle the physicality and like the athleticism from the Pelicans. Again, literally, it's been happening all season long against the Pelicans and it was nothing new. So this game was going to be hard and everything. I kind of wish, like, we didn't take as many threes. Well, we always settle. For some reason, we just settle for threes, you know, even though we're not hitting them. And it's just frustrating to watch because it's just like, I know it's hard to score against Valanciunas in the paint, but it's just like, try that. Hopefully, we get some foul calls. But then again, missed free throws were a thing. Honestly, this game in general was just like a microcosm of the entire season. So, yeah, that second quarter kind of just did us in.
100%. Moving forward to the second half. Third quarter, Davion hits two threes. Fox is carrying the load, as usual. Domas drives and gets a dunk. HB hits another three to end the quarter. Pels up 74-83. Fourth quarter, Domas gets an and one. Pels go on a run and go up 20. Kings can't make a shot. Pelicans take care of business. They win and go on to the playoffs. 105-98. Naima, Elizabeth, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just a disappointing, you know, end. I mean, with the way these games have gone against the Pelicans, I was kind of expecting, you know, to be disappointed tonight, but just really sucks outside of like two of our top guys. You know, no one else could show up tonight. I mean, our bench was not good at all tonight, and you know, when you needed I mean, they had their moments where, you know, Davion came in, because Davion looked really bad early. Then he came in and kind of settled down, hit some nice shots. But free throws, again, killed us. You know, we missed 7 free throws tonight. That's the difference of your, you know, your game right there. But, yeah, just sucks to, you know, have such a high on Tuesday and then, you know, have to face the reality on Friday with them losing and being done for the season. But, I mean, big changes are obviously need to come with this team. You try to run it back and it didn't work out. So, you know, I expect the front office to, you know, figure out what they need to do, you know, to get this team, you know, back on track, because the West is stacked, as we saw this year. I mean, we literally only finished with 2 less wins than last season. We were all the way in the 9th seed. So yeah, they got to make some moves and figure it out what those moves are. I don't know what. I mean, obviously getting Malik, you know, back is a priority, I feel like, because we see what our bench was without Malik, you know, very inconsistent and, you know, struggled at times and struggled to create offense and things like that. So, yeah, just bummed that the season has to end, but, you know, looking forward to, you know, getting back next year and hopefully this team, you know, can get back on the right track and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really tough game. Couldn't really do much in that second half. And, you know, Keon and Keegan just having, you know, just not good games, basically. Like, Domas and Fox could only do so much. And the fact we won last game because, like, Keegan showed up and Keon showed up and our bench was just not enough. Like Liz said, like, you see how it basically the difference in this game was the bench. Like, it Pelicans bench played extremely well and the Kings bench was just, you know, average. Like, Davion hit some shots, but in the end it was just not enough. And we were definitely missing Malik, and we knew like Kings fans knew that if we were gonna not have Malik for the rest of the season, it was going to be tough to close out, and it was tough. I think we lost like our last like 6 or 7 or something like that, and then this game was just, you know, we needed something, a spark off the bench, and it would have been Malik, but we didn't. But yeah, it's just unfortunate to see how the season ended. It was a roller coaster ride, kind of fitting that we were on such a high on Tuesday and then now very low with this loss. But yeah, like Liz said, a lot of changes need to happen, and gotta lock up Malik, you know, gotta do something about that and, like, you know, make changes. We cannot just run back it again after this season. But it was nice to see, like, Keon, you know, step up and get his chance this season. And now, obviously, he can make a difference on this team. So, like, excited to see what he can do next year as well. And so, yeah. Hoping next season will be better.
100%. Honestly, I'm surprised we didn't lose by 30. Anytime you shoot 40% from the field, mm-hmm. and 26% from 3, it's like, what is going on here? So I thought they had a chance up until maybe 6 minutes to go when they were down 20. It's like, all right, maybe we need to throw in the towel. And then my delusional homerism wore off. But yeah, it happened all year. This team will feel themselves. They get an emotional win, and then they lose the next game. It has happened all year. They beat the Wolves on the road, then they lost the next game. They beat the Nuggets on the road, then they lost the next game. They beat the Clips, and then they lose again to a so-called lesser team, less favored team, whatever you want to call it. So this has happened all year. It is what it is. All right, Manny, what's going on, man?
What's up, Daly? I went into the game. I was high on the team. Obviously, I knew everyone knows the 0-5. Pelicans been dominating. So I wasn't going to be upset if they lost. I'm a little upset of the way everyone kind of shrunk and disappeared other than Fox and Domas. And even with Domas, I'm not crapping on Domas's numbers at all. Like, I think dude had a hell of a game. But his numbers were basically a wash because I can't even say the dude's name. I always mispronounce his name on the Pelicans, but he basically had the same number, so they were basically a wash on each other. But yeah, like, we see what we need to do. As far as, like, the season, like, for me personally, I don't find the season at all to be a success. I find it to be mid, Like, I'm not upset by that. Like, it's a process, and it's never easy getting over that hump that first year, especially not getting in for 16 years. All of a sudden, you're good. That second season is always bumps, right? It's hard to replicate that. It's hard to replicate being as healthy, obviously. It's hard to replicate the way they shot last year. Like, all that stuff, everything is hard to replicate in those instances. So I wasn't surprised by a step back. For us, luckily, it wasn't a huge step back, but I do feel like there were parts that were a step back, right? And that's just, for me, that's just part of the process where now Monty looks at that and he better gauges where everybody is at. It's not easy to gauge everybody after 1 year when everybody was on a high. It's a lot easier when that second year where you see Keegan's growth and what you're now going to get from him, where you see where Fox is now and he's solidified his position. Same with Sabonis. Obviously, a couple other guys, right? Like, you see, I love Keon. I hated to see him pull a Klay Thompson. But overall, obviously, he was gold. Like, overall, what we found from him is basic gold. And that's hard to find somebody like him. So disappointed a little bit in the season, more of this game. But overall, like, I'm excited for next year. Obviously, I took an ass whooping all day today between my Bulls and our Kings. Like, I took a whole 6 hours of ass whooping, and that was hard to watch.
I'm surprised you're even here, man. I'm surprised you're not in the tub with the bottle in your hand. What's going on?
I yelled more at the Bulls game, because with the Kings, it was more like, it's a young team. Some of that stuff I expected. I love the way at the end, I will say this, I love the way at the end that they still were like, fuck this, you're not going to beat us by 25. Like, they at least did that. Like, some of that stuff you wish you had seen some more of going to the hole earlier, right? But Fox still was trying to kill them. He still was picking their pocket. Like, all that, I still love to see that. I know that might not mean much to a lot of people because they're already mad that they're losing. But, like, for me, that, to me, that's setting a standard. Like, when your star player is still out there down 15, 20, and he's still trying to pick pockets and get and-ones, like, that's a leader, bro. That's a freaking leader that's not going to sit there and be like, all right, let me go sit on the bench. And we lost. Let's wait till next year. Like, nah, bro. Like, I still have faith that I can single-handedly bring this team back in 4 minutes. Like, bro, that's everything to me. So, but watching the Bulls, they're just, it's a mid-team. Like, they should have dismantled that team 2 years ago. I'm not going to talk about that much, but, like, it just was brutal going through that and then the second game. But at least with the Kings, like again, like, the ceiling, the sky is the limit right now with that team. Monty has to do whatever he has to do. We all have our own personal opinions of what we think the team needs and all that. And it doesn't matter what we all think. At the end of the day, we're all going to be sitting on pins and needles for this summer and to see what they do. So, but it's exciting. Like, how many times have you said that about the Kings where, like, it's not about, God, let me see who I'm getting in the top five pick in the draft. More like, let me see who we adding so we can come back and run this shit. Like, man. That's exciting. Anytime you're talking about like that with your team, yeah, it's a disappointing ending, but it's exciting to see what the future is going to hold.
Yeah, 100% Serial. And shout out Coby White for balling out in game one. That was beautiful to watch. But again, I think same case with the Bulls. They came off an emotional win too. So I think it's hard to maintain. Those are the lessons that young teams need to figure out is maintaining that energy for a second game, where it's a do or die situation, win or go home. Thank you, Manny. We appreciate you. I hope you're staying.
Shout outs to you guys. I just want to say real quick, shout outs to you guys. You guys are fucking awesome. You make all these games, win and loss, is tolerable. I love hearing everything you guys say. I mean that as the greatest compliment. Like, this is one of my favorite things to do when you guys, I hate when you guys don't have them. Sometimes, because I'm say something, it's like, I can't say nothing.
Hey, so, man, we get tired. You know what I mean? It's like those back to backs, and then throwing up a podcast afterwards, like 3 or 4 times a week when we get back to back. And then every other game, it just gets annoying. And you know, I have like a million other interests. You know what I mean?
Well, I love all y'all. I'm going to drop you some hip hop later on tomorrow morning. I got some stuff for you to listen to.
Oh, a new Talib, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
New Talib and Madlib, but that's a whole nother story. But
okay, we'll talk.
All right, sir. Exactly. All right, guys. And that's the thing, man, is when you beat a team six times or five times during the season, and you know, they always said, oh, it's hard to beat a team six times, but if you have their number that many times over the season, it is what it is. Not to mention if they just beat us, what, about 3 weeks ago, maybe last month. And so just a month to get better, to actually beat a team that you could barely beat or not beat at all, that's tough. It's like fighting or combat sports. Fighters fight each other if they're good and if they're lucky three times. But over those three times, it takes years. And so the fights are different because you can improve over a year or maybe a year and a half, which is usually how trilogies go. But like, we face those fools five times in a matter of like 8 months, 6 months. And it's like not enough time for improvement, not to mention personnel. You already know how that goes. Woke Deep, you ready, man?
Yeah, sorry. I said come back to me. I was walking to my car, got caught up in a little bit of a busy area. So my bad on that.
I'm just giving you a hard time. It's all good, man. How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. Obviously it's pretty disappointing. You know, I do have some thoughts. Specifically some big picture thoughts. And I'm also going to give you a forewarning. I mean, it's not going to be fun to listen to, but yes. And I'm also going to preface this by saying, this is how I feel right now. Maybe if you talk to me tomorrow morning, maybe I'll say something completely different, but right now, this is how I'm feeling.
Man, I can imagine what you say to a woman before you break up with them. I swear to God, you probably preface it. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Don't. It's hilarious. All right, go for it, man.
Anyway. You know, like everyone always says, okay, first off, I give Monty McNair a ton of credit for assembling the team that actually like got us to the playoffs. Okay, I could do that. But I hear a lot of people saying, oh, okay, you know, Monty McNair has work to do. There are tweaks that need to be made to the roster. And my question is, what specific tweaks are we in position to make? Because last time I checked, we don't have enough cap space to even re-sign Malik Monk. So if we're that, and we went 5-8 without Malik Monk, if we're that worried about losing, if we're that worried about losing Malik Monk, is this team going to even go anywhere? What position what upgrades, like, are we even in position to make with the roster is my question. I mean, the way I, right now, how I'm feeling, the way I see it, I mean, this is probably the peak of the Kings, and this is probably a very controversial thing to say, but I think Sacramento should consider blowing it up, especially if you lose Malik Monk. If you lose Malik Monk, this I mean, we went 5-8 without him. This team is not like this team is for sure cooked if we lose Monk. So I don't know. That's how I feel right now. Maybe I'll say something completely different tomorrow, but you know, I the way I see it, I think this is the Kings' peak.
Jesus Christ. No, I don't think it is. I disagree. We're only in year two. With Malik Monk, and I know someone way more articulate and slash a cap expert could explain this better to me, but the idea is to sign him to a two-year deal with the first year where he gets a massive pay cut, but in the second year, we will have more money to give them, and he'll get the bag in the next year. That's what I understand. So it's possible in two-year contracts is usually what people sign for these days when they're a veteran like Malik Monk, who has a lot to offer. So it's possible, definitely. And then not only that, our developmental program is solid. I do expect Colby Jones and Jay Slaw to be a lot better next year. I'm not counting on them to you know, be this catalyst for change, change agents to make the Kings so much better. But what I'm saying is there are things down the pipeline that we could do, not to mention trades. And it's not necessarily a big name. It could be a name that is going to be a big name. You know what I mean? Paul Georges don't come off as rookies. They become Paul Georges. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody knows who Jalen Brunson is, but guess what? Most Knicks fans did not know who he was. I argued with Mavs fans 2 years ago on whether he deserved more than $25 million. Are you fucking kidding me? They didn't see it. So there are players all around the league that could be absolutely amazing. They just need to be unlocked, developed, and whatnot. So they're out there. And so all is not lost. We're only in year two, and our players are still young. If De'Aaron was 32 and Domas was 34 or vice versa, then it's like, yeah, we're getting long in the tooth. We should blow it up.
Right.
But we've only just begun. Don't let me play the song, "We've Only Just Begun," because it's not that type of podcast. But seriously, I think we're going to be okay.
All right. All right. I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
And again, there's other Kings media. They're like cap space experts. They'll explain the whole deal when it comes to Malik Monk. It's already been explained at least multiple times. I just don't know the episodes where that information is. So thank you, Woke Deep. We appreciate you. Keep your chin up, man. We knew how the season was. The season was crazy. I think, if anything, in some ways they punched above their weight. So it's all good on my end. Havertz, what's up, man?
Yeah. Honestly, I wanted to add on to what the last guy was saying. I kind of disagree, like, with the whole blowing it up thing. I think you're right in what you elaborated. Like, this team kind of, I thought it was punching above its weight, to be honest. Just watching you guys over the season, I think you guys are probably the most fun team in the league to watch. And I watch OKC, so it's a bit different. But yeah, overall, I think your GM Monty's got a lot of work cut out for him in the summer. I think you guys have, you know, two superstars that are in a good age, but it's about the pieces around them. And that's the main thing. I don't think you guys have the right pieces around them. And I know, because I follow a lot of people on Kings Twitter about the whole Harrison Barnes attacking Barnes and Herder for their lack of success this season. But it's about getting those guys, those pieces correct. And you, as you elaborated, like, you don't find it a Paul George right away as a rookie. No, you get someone to develop into that. And I'm not too sure about the developmental system at Kings. You guys probably definitely know a lot better than me. But I think you guys got to just trust the process, as corny as that sounds. You just got to trust the process. I think, especially with Keon, that's the one guy we've heard of this year. Watching him, what he did to Shea earlier in the year, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And he was doing an amazing job on Shea. And I'm like, I would love a guy like this. You know what I mean? So I'll be honest, like, it's about trusting the process. And do I think you guys can get to the next level? Yes. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. Some veteran guys might need to be added. Some young guys might need to be added. I think Malik Monk resigning is going to be huge for you guys. I'm not sure about the cap situation. You were elaborating on it. I think he's key for you guys, but I think there's going to be a lot of teams willing to throw a bag at him. But I'd say the one advantage is you guys have Malik Monk really interested in staying. And so when you have that level, it's going to be good to resign him. So overall, heads up, Kings fans. Definitely a difficult season when you guys came off the high of last season, like, no expectation. And this year, the West got a lot better. But overall, I think you guys did well with the roster that you have. Now it's about building and continuing. That's pretty much all for me. I just wanted to chime in after watching the game.
Oh, hey, Britt. So 100% well said. And seriously, we're 10 games above 500.
Yeah,
in this loaded Western Conference, I consider that, I'm not going to say it's a success, but it's far better than anything we've done in the past 17 years. And yeah, even last year's record of 48 and 34, we'd still be in the eighth spot. So it's kind of like,
exactly,
this West is loaded. I don't think people understand that. And so if anything, we kind of just maintained who we were, and we didn't necessarily, run the table and go on 4 or 5 game winning streaks so we could actually be a 6 seed or a 7th or 5th seed. But it is what it is, man. We basically brought the same tools the same swords to the war, where everybody else came in fully loaded with tanks and catapults and everything else. I'm not sure why I mixed, you know, eras there, but whatever. Forgive me. But thank you, Haberts. Pleasure, man. Come back anytime.
For sure. We're going to knock up those pelicans for y'all.
Oh, man. You know what, man? You guys go as far as Shea goes, man. That's it. And that's, and I know that's not expert analysis, but that's it. If Shea's going to bring you a championship, it's going to be on his shoulders, period. Do you agree or no?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, because all your youngs are still learning, man. So it's like, you know, you guys might even get bounced in the first round just because of your inexperience. But if Shea goes off, sky's the limit, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was more scared of getting you guys in the first round than the Pelicans. We've done decent against those guys. So, I mean, we'll see.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I felt. Because we gave you guys work in the first two meetings, and then you guys gave us work in the last two. So, and shout out to you guys for improving. So, yeah, appreciate it, Haberts. Thank you so much. Bung. You still here? What's happening, man?
I'm a sad camper tonight, guys. That's what's happening here. I don't know why, and maybe I'd have to look back at what these other games, the matchups have been too, but why was Keegan not on Ingram the entire game? Why was he not start on Ingram when it wasn't working early? Why was he not on Ingram in the third? You know, I guess he gets hurt. Maybe that's not, but I was thinking it right away and looking at the whole game, and I clicked back through to double check myself at the end. And sure enough, like every time I stopped, and it stopped it again to look at random play. Oh no, it's Barnes on Ingram. And I just don't think that was the matchup for tonight. And that's not the only reason we lost. But you know, I don't know, man. I cannot stand for any of this blow it up talk. I really can't. I'm sorry. Like oh, we didn't make it this year. So like we fell apart a little bit at the end of the season. We had some big injuries. You know what I mean? Look at all the progress this team has made, the way we've changed, the way we played. We fucking knocked out the Warriors. Like it wasn't nothing. You know what I mean? And I can't hear that right now. What are we going to go back to? What do you want to go? Who are we getting rid of, blowing it up to trade the good players we have so we can go back to being bad? Like, I'm sorry. I'm not doing this again. We have a solid team right now with players that are all-stars and, you know, Sabonis is – every time there's a list of metrics put up, Sabonis is top 10 in every one that matters that applies to MVPs and stuff. There was that – there was a entire major list put together where they took, like, all the stats and compiled them all or something like that. I saw that list. And, you know, Jokic is at the top. But DeMontis was, like, in the top 10.
As I said, I'm very happy to accept that I'm wrong.
I've heard you, man. Yeah, come on, dude.
Very happy to.
I heard you, bro. I know.
Bung, but let's not forget, like, how many times have we seen captions and graphics of Domas being compared to Wilt Chamberlain? Amazing. Right. He had amazing year.
So who are we trading for? Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't know what part of it. We have found an amazing piece in Keon Ellis. We got to knock out the Warriors. You know, I was at that game, as I said last time, and it was a fantastic moment, and it's what I'm going to take away from this season. We're not done here. We try to re-sign Malik Monk. You do what you can in the draft. Okay, we got a 14th pick. What do you do with that? There's trades to be made. There's things to happen here. But we continue to build. We don't blow it up, bro. I cannot hear that.
I'm very happy to accept that. But
and you've said that 10 times already, man. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, dude. Anyways, I knew this. There was something wrong with this season a long time early on when we were not. I don't know. You know, I'm not in that locker room with those guys. I'm not here to judge a bunch of another group of grown men, right? But something I think is, I don't know. We're a group of professionals, and maybe we're a little too professional. You know, I think we got to get a little nastier next season.
But we need an enforcer, man. If anything,
yes, we do.
If that's seriously,
yeah, they're sending us fishing right now. I don't know if anyone's watching, but
I'm sure we'll see it soon.
Yeah, Domas has a No More Cowbell t-shirt on. It's actually pretty funny. I got to give it to him. That's it's got Will Ferrell with the cowbell. That's well done.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, we will. Oh God, I gotta watch the playoffs without us in it. Oh my God, I'm getting so high and going to San Francisco with my girlfriend tomorrow. I'm gonna forget that basketball exists. That's the plan. And I hope you all join me on 420 tomorrow, where we will pretend that there isn't a sport called basketball for a day. And then we'll be back here for the draft and we'll all talk that out. And I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully let's have some draft spaces coming up, huh?
Oh, we will for sure, man. All right. And anytime there's a move, we'll have a space, man. So
yeah, of course.
Appreciate you, Bung, as always, man.
Thank you, man.
Enjoy tomorrow. Ross, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Just wanted to, yeah, kind of taking off what everybody said. Thank you guys for the spaces. So nice to be able to come in here after a loss or a win. I actually prefer this place after a loss, like most of you sickos. Just a nice place to vent. And instead of just, you know, yelling into the void about how, you know, the team didn't give enough effort or this and that, we can actually like talk it out and make some basketball sense of what happens, because, you know, that's kind of the reality of it. If you talk it out enough, you understand why, and most of the times it makes sense. If we break down tonight's game, it's obvious, you know, we don't match up well with the Pelicans. They're a long team. We shot 25% from three. No Malik Monk was huge. We all talked about this when we went down, and we said it a couple spaces ago, pretty much 80% of the timeline gave up on this team when Malik Monk went down. They won two games and just hopped right back on the bandwagon and then buried them again when they lost. So it's just funny how loyalty is just kind of like a give or take thing. And I just appreciate everybody's kind of loyalty, sticking by the team. Like a lot of people said, feels like more than year two. But it is year two of the rebuild. We really only, you know, cleared the garbage roster we had just 2 years ago. It was such a hard place for Monk to come into. Or, I mean, not Monk, Monty to come into with just, imagine coming into a team with just such limited trait. You don't have anybody's picks. You just have this roster of people that I think like, 7 or 8 people were out of the league within a few years that were on this team. You had Fox, who was kind of struggling and basically rock bottom as far as trade value. And for him to kind of dig us out of the gutter and get us here, he kind of catapulted us. And I think that's what a couple fans kind of misconstrued, is we elevated just at the right time, like with the Western Conference being so good. And like you just posted, we finished 10 games above 500 in this Western Conference. And I mean, you're just looking around at the talent that we played and what an up and down year, and then having, you know, bad injury luck at the end with Monk. It is admirable that we got the 10th seed, and, you know, nobody gave us a shot against the Warriors and we knocked them off. And I've been around this team a long time, and honestly, like, that Warriors win, that was a top 5 win for me all time. Laugh all you want, but I'm taking that one to the grave. And nobody's taking that away from me. It was just a good, fun game. Showed the heart this team has and kind of shows the blueprint that we have forward. Monk went down and this team kind of adapted. Herter went down and we just had to show that, you know, put some defensive guys in there, and that's exactly what Mike Brown wants. And to me, we're coming out of the season with a defensive identity. And you look at the best teams in the league every year, the last like 8 or 9, 10 teams standing, and there's not one that's, you know, not in the top 15 of defense. So Mike Brown saw the writing on the wall and he said, we need to figure out, as much as, yeah, we could run it back and be running gun again, and we, who knows, we might have even had a better record and we might have made the playoffs, but he's looking big picture. Monty's looking big picture. And without this team learning how to play defense, we could have only gone so far. It's just never been done in the NBA. There's been a lot of teams that came really close, but even those teams, the Suns, the Kings, they had, you know, formidable defenses. They weren't amazing, but they weren't bottom five in the league. So I respect the direction that he went in, and we got some blessings from it. We got Davion, who looks like he's a rotational piece now. Keon's just incredible. If you really slow down and look at it, there's a lot of positives. If we're giving Keon the starting two position, you're basically saying, I'm happy with four out of the five starters. I love Harrison Barnes. He actually played great these two playoff games, and you won't really hear about it, but he finished off the Warriors, and he was probably the third best player tonight. So you won't ever hear about it because we didn't win, and people love to talk trash about Barnes, and there's plenty to criticize about Barnes, but you know, I give him credit. He stepped up. And same goes for Domas, too. All we heard all year was, you know, but can Domas do it in the postseason? He had two really good games, so credit to him. But, you know, looking down at starting lineup, you got Keon Fox, Domas, and Keegan. That's, you know, imagine getting a 6'10 guy who can put it on the floor and attack the basket, and he's also a good defender. Imagine what we would look like.
Yeah, it's just who is that guy? You know what I mean? It's like it's going to be hard to find that person.
And, it is, but
you know, but I that's you know me, man. In the DMs, that's what we're always talking about. We just want to clone, you know, Naz Reid or an offensive Jonathan Isaac. You know what I mean? Like we're always talking.
No, for sure. And it always, you know, they pop up out of nowhere, and you. That's Monty's job, is finding, you know, these players that you buy low on. Like, look at, you know, Porzingis 2 years ago, nobody really wanted him. They wouldn't, you know, imagine if somebody would have pulled the trigger. So there's always a guy that you can buy low on and just have to fit it into the system. But we do have assets. We have this year's pick, and people are like worried about the picks not relaying, but we still have the 28, 29, 30, and you're telling me other GMs aren't looking at the Kings in 3-4 years thinking we're just going to go back to being Kangs, and, you know, that could be a top five pick. So you take that, you even take, like, you know, Colby Jones is a trade piece that you could use. Davion, now that he's stepped up, honestly, as much as I love Keon Ellis is a huge trade piece now. Imagine that contract. And that type of player, I mean, yeah, I want Keon to play on this team forever, but I'm also looking at it like, if you sell on him, you're selling extremely high right now. So we have assets. I think a lot of people are looking at it like we have nothing, but it's just, it's year two. So I really feel good about the future moving forward with our, you know, defensive, you know, kind of prowess that kind of came to bat in the last maybe 2 months. So, yeah, I appreciate everybody. And like we always say, keep your head up. I'm probably feeling more optimistic than a lot of people. Obviously, it sucked, you know, not making the playoffs, but this was brutal. You know, the West is insane. And it'll probably be good again next year. But the odds of, you know, this many teams being that far above 500 is not. It never happened before. This is the first time there's ever been 10 teams, 10 games above 500 in the last 30 years. So I'd be surprised if it happens again, but all these teams made huge moves. The Kings didn't. So just imagine what we look like if we do make a few huge moves. And, I'll leave it at that. Light the beam, y'all.
Appreciate that, Russ. Well said. Thank you so much. And Alan Cal, I see you. And then Byrie, I see you as well. Before you guys speak, let me just name the names that Monty McNair inherited really quick. Just 10. I could go all the way down to 23. I'll just do 10. Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, who are still with the team. Shout out to them. Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rashawn Holmes, Nemanja Bjelica, MB3, Trevor Ariza, Corey Joseph, Kent Bazemore. That's what he inherited. So just think about that. Don't forget, we had rookies. Kyle Guy, Justin James, Daquan Jeffries, Eric Mike. I think Daquan is still with the Knicks, I believe. Everybody else is probably out of the league or in the G League. So, yeah, it's been rough, man. And for Monty McNair. And so what he's done, I think, is commendable. So That's all I got to say. Keith, what's up, man?
All right, everybody. Let's get this done on a high note, okay? I don't want no tears around here. No tears. No tears, Sacramento. I'm going to be optimistic today. I'm a Sacramento man who looks at things glass half full. Real quick, I had to stop at the gas station, get a pack of Swishers before I roll this blunt up. I'm very disappointed that I can't find any Grape Swishers anymore. If anybody can tell me why, ever since I came back to Cali, we don't sell no Grape Swishers no more, you let me know, because this whole no Grape Swisher thing, it ain't gonna work for me. In all seriousness, though, you know what? I'm not even mad. I really do feel like, yes, was the season what we thought it was gonna be? No. And I think I was one of the few people that said, you know what? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm drinking the purple Kool-Aid. This team has got so much potential. Last year, obviously, the way it ended, not the way anybody wanted to see it end in a 7-game series. But I said, you know what? We'll come back next year. We're hungrier, healthier. Sabonis got the max deal. We got Bishankov. I think for a lot of us who were optimistic, we predicated the optimism on the hypothetical that, okay, if we're going to run this back with the same unit, we basically brought back the same exact team, okay? It was going to be a gamble. We said, Monty's going to make a gamble here. He gave Barnes the money. That was not, per se, looking back on it, the smartest move. That's not to say that Barnes sucks. I think a lot of people in the fan base hate Barnes. I mean, you know, and this has nothing to do with performance, but fuck, guys. I mean, you just went through 20 years where nobody wanted to play here. They would rather go to fucking China than play here. And a guy signs a deal to be here. He represented the community with flying colors. I get it. That has nothing to do with performance. But damn, man, like, he wanted to be here. That counts for something. Should he be starting next year? Obviously not. I think we should go a different route. But that doesn't mean Barnes is a horrible player. And I just feel like this fan base loves to dunk on him for whatever reason, but whatever. It comes down to the fact that I think injury-wise, we maxed out. We were one of the healthiest teams last year. A majority of the Western Conference was not. And this year, the West got better. And the West upgraded. They tooled up at the deadline. And the Kings pretty much stood pat. And, hey, listen, life's a gamble. Life's a risk. You win some, you lose some. But I think, obviously, it goes without saying, if this team is going to take the next level, there's going to have to be some moves made. What those moves are, I don't know. If I were to predict what would happen, most likely Herder could be gone. I hope that Monk stays. If Monk doesn't stay, worst case scenario, that's a huge hole to fill. And you see a night like tonight where they couldn't get anything to drop in the bucket. And we just didn't have that scoring output coming off the bench to kickstart like a drive or a run or just any momentum when we needed it the most. I love the fact that we were forced basically to put Keon out there. I think Keon's got so much potential. Defensively, he became one of the best defenders on this team, like damn near in a span of like 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm really looking forward to that. But hey, I think that anybody will tell you this team has talent. This team is not garbage. This team is not the best team in the league. But in my heart of hearts, these are the growing pains that teams have to go through if they're going to take the next level. And if we're going to reach that next step, we're going to have to roll the dice. And listen, I don't know why anybody would not put faith in Monty at this point. I don't think Monty's done anything crazy. Has he gone 100% from the floor? No. But we are not even playing for a playing spot, let alone being a 3-seed last year without Monty McNair. And any fan who tells you different or tries to blame him for standing pat the deadline because he tried to follow the system, they just don't know what they're talking about. But I can't really hate, man. Hey, this team was injured as hell down the stretch. Lost Monk, lost Red Velvet. Keegan Murray got hurt, but they fought back, eliminated the Dubs, and gave it their all tonight. It is what it is, but we'll come back next year. I love this fucking team. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I'll be a Kings fan until they put me 6 feet in the goddamn dirt. I'm going to have a great offseason. I hope to hear from everybody on Twitter. One love. Okay, we'll be back next year, turn the Jets on, and we'll light the fucking beam again, and we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Let's go, 100%, Keith. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, as always. Looking forward to you coming back next season.
I'm looking forward to your Chargers. I want to see what your Chargers can
do. Hey, man, who got it better than us? That's all I got to say.
Nobody, baby.
What are you laughing at, Liz? How dare you?
Well, Liz is a Raider fan. You know Liz can't.
Yeah.
They can't fly with Liz.
100%. I'm literally going to open Tankathon for the first time in 2 years, guys. It's been a wonderful 2 years without looking at Tankathon. It's a beautiful thing, seriously. So I'll probably crack that open tonight or tomorrow morning. You guys are the best. Shout out to my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Naima. They're amazing. I'm not doing this without them. Liz and Naima, any last words?
No, I just thank you all for joining us after every game, win or lose. You know, I appreciate the dialogue, you know, after the games and the insight that everyone provides. And, you know, it's nice to hear everyone's perspective and, you know, them able to come in and get their, you know, feelings off their chest after games. So it's been a fun ride with y'all this season. Looking forward to next season, but it'll be nice to have a little bit of a break. That's for sure.
Yeah. Like Liz said, thank you all for listening. We appreciate you joining in and, you know, giving your takes and all that. It's always nice to hear different perspectives and everything. And we appreciate the love and support we get from all of y'all. But yeah, hopefully next season will be better for us. We'll make the playoffs and we don't have to worry about no play-in. So yeah, let that be.
And Naima, are we going to have Minnesota link spaces? Because I got to, you know, talk about my girl, Alyssa Pilley, if she goes off.
Oh, man. I really hope she can make the roster. It's tough. You know how it's really tough in the WNBA to make a roster. You know, it's very limited and everything. But
right.
Maybe I'll host some spaces if people would be interested. Yeah, like that WNBA season is coming up. Y'all better be tuned in. It's going to be a really great season. Definitely gonna think about doing spaces that would be fun, but definitely there'll be other spaces out there that people are holding and everything that I'll probably join in as well. So yeah,
100%, man. All right, you guys, we're out of here. We appreciate everyone coming through. As said before, good day, good night, and light the beam.